Let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and call us to order this morning, regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on September 9th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I'm not seeing anybody move to the mic. Consideration of minutes from 9-2.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. Is there any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. The minutes have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval. I submit it.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Consideration of claims.
I think we'll flip a coin. Move approval.
I'll second.
Motion and a second to approve the claims. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The claims have been approved. Consent agenda. Add road closures 1513 and utility permit 1511, 12, 13, and 14.
Move approval with the noted changes.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. The consent agenda has been approved. That takes us to public hearing items. Consideration of Resolution 1516, amending the FY15 budget. Lisa Markley.
Good morning.
Markley, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome.
Yes, you are.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago when I asked for permission to send it to publication. The publication happened on August 28th as required. I did change it slightly because the Environmental Health Department was nice enough to tell me that we'd already budgeted their $18,000 for that grant, so I pulled that out of the expense. So overall, the expenditures that we are looking at are amending $2,222,383, which is a 5.8% increase in expenditures from the original budget. And the revenues, we're still looking at $423,000, which is a 1% increase of the overall budget.
But well over half of that $2.2 million is in expenditures that we had for capital projects that we thought we were going to spend last year that we didn't quite get spent.
It's a little over $1.1 million of that, yes.
Okay.
with the amendment, our original budget, we budgeted for the general supplemental ending fund balance to be 21.7. With this amendment, it brings it down to 18.7. Rural fund, we originally budgeted 11.4. We're amending it up to 14.3. Okay? Those are the majority, or those are the only two funds that are really affected substantially by this amendment. And as Rick just pointed out, the biggest portion of this is capital project TIF for the Dakin's Lake completion that we thought we'd do last year and we didn't, so we have to bring that forward. Any questions?
I got one comment I would make, just to point out for everybody. When this board sat down together for the first time, our estimated total ending fund balance was somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million. Now, we never got quite that low, but that's where our budget had our total ending fund balance going. It was about $6 million, and this has it at $14 million. That's a fairly solid job, and it gives us a little more flexibility to deal with any issues we might have down the road. Lisa, I just wanted to point that fact out.
Correct.
Okay. With that, I will open the public hearing. Anybody has any comments on the budget amendment? This would be the time to come forward. Not seeing a rush to the microphone, I'll turn to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. Move approval of amending the FY15 budget as submitted.
Yeah, and I'll second Resolution 1516, amending the budget.
I have a motion and a second to approve the Resolution 1516, amending the FY15 budget. Is there anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
toot aye. Thanks, Lisa.
See you in a minute.
Next public hearing item, consideration of requests for proposals for the rooftop tower replacement project, Cal Pearson and Leanne Harder. Probably one of the simplest things we've ever looked into, right, Cal?
Oh, my. Piece of cake. Just go up there and replace that tower, will you?
We're moving forward, I hope.
I just have a few slides to share with
52.
You. Not 52 slides?
Yeah, that's how many pages I had to read on this.
This is a very substantial RFP, and Cal and I will take no credit for it because Jamie with Shive Hadry did put it together for Story County, gave us the opportunity to review it. On your agenda today, you actually have two very distinct items that are very much related. The one before you right now is a public hearing on just replacing the towers. Later on, there's a resolution setting a public hearing on replacing the equipment. We do need to divide into two different projects. The rooftop replacement RFP is going a couple of weeks ahead of actually the tower or the equipment, and that's by necessity. But what's before you is actually the draft RFP. The schedule is quite simple. Today, we're asking you to approve the RFP. We would release it this afternoon, along with Shive Hadry reaching out to different entities within the business community that would be interested in doing the job. There's a walkthrough pre-bid meeting this coming Friday. Proposals are actually due 2 weeks from today, 9:23 at 9 a.m. You'll acknowledge them later that morning. Cal will sit down, review the proposals that were submitted. The vendor selection will occur on September 30th. Then on October 14th, you would actually take action to approve the contract. Time frame is such so that we can ensure that towers is erected prior to the middle of December. So that does ensure a couple months time frame to get in there before the weather turns, hopefully. Staff recommendation is after public hearing is open and closed. We recommend approval of the tower replacement RFP and then ask that you direct staff to place the RFP on our website under bid postings. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think you covered it very well.
Do you have any concerns about the 2 month window to get it done?
No, Jamie, this is talking with the engineer that we feel this should work under this schedule.
So the plan is to erect the new ones. New one, and then
correct. We would put up
the radio equipment.
The new one, and yeah, and if anything gets moved over, otherwise it'll be new equipment going up, and that'll be as little disruption as possible of the actual changeover to the new tower and system, and then the old towers would come down.
Same contract will come back and take down.
That's the way it's stated.
All right. Any other questions for these guys?
I'm just happy every time we have a wind event that we still have towers standing.
Don't say that too loud. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. If anybody has any comments on this tower project, this would be the time to come forward. And not see anybody move to the mic, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd move approval of doing a RFP for the tower replacement, and I'd direct staff to list it on the website.
Second.
Got a motion, a second, to approve the RFP and to have the RFP posted on our website. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry this turned into such a complex project, Cal. Good job.
Get through it.
Thanks, Leanne.
I'm this.
Additional items. Consideration of Resolution 1517 amending the FY15 appropriations. Again, Lisa Markling.
Not enough that we budget it. Now you want to be able to actually spend it.
Well, you know, quite frankly, we probably need to amend the appropriations in order to spend those dollars. I'll run through the resolution quickly. The attorney's office is being amended by $179,700, general county betterment by $93,145, conservation by $430,000, human services center by $3,000, facilities by $85,000, hence the tower project we were just talking about. Information Technology, $132,975. Planning and Development will be lowered by $81,627, and Countywide Services increased by $1,381,90.
Okay. That $81,627, that's just rolling to a different – I mean, I know it's coming out of a different fund, but those dollars – we're still spending those dollars. We're just
still
not spending
those
them
dollars.
Through.
We're going to spend them in Countywide Services as opposed to Planning and Development.
And they ultimately come out of a different fund, right? Instead of
right.
the rural fund, they come
right.
out of general. Yep.
Nope.
I'm good. I'll move approval of Resolution 1517, appropriating the dollars that we've budgeted.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve Resolution 1517. Is there anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barkley.
Yeah.
Discussion and consideration of FY14 Story County Case Management Performance Improvement Plan. Aaron Rewerts. Morning, Aaron.
Morning. I feel like I'm going to have to talk really fast. You guys are flying right through everything. I'm
you can
like,
slow us down.
Oh my. Okay, so I'm here for my annual visit really to kind of talk to you about my annual performance improvement plan that's required by Chapter 24 and the Department of Human Services for us to complete. So I'm just going to hit a few highlights, talk about a few struggles, and then also how we did on our goals this year. We did receive our three-year accreditation for our case management program in December of 2013 with an overall score of 97%, which I think you guys know, so that's probably our biggest highlight. We ended the fiscal year with 9 case managers, started with 11. And part of that has to do with we had a couple resign at opportune times, I guess. We're looking at transitioning all those folks with serious mental illness to the integrated health home. So currently, we still have kind of the one position. We kind of let the one go. What that created for us this year, challenge-wise, is we did have caseload sizes averaged about 33, but for most of the year, we were more around 40-ish due to resignations and maternity leaves and things like that that just kind of happened at strange times. So we are, with this transition of the mental health folks, looking towards getting that back down to a more manageable level and that kind of thing, and kind of keeping our eye on that for folks. We finished the fiscal year with 338 consumers, which is less than last year, and probably due to two things. We, at the end of June, had already transferred about 30 people to the integrated health home. And the other thing that we worked on throughout the year was to transfer the consumers that live in other counties to case management units in those counties. So we had a total of 54 referrals last year, with 39 of those accepted, and I think we had somewhere around 58 discharges throughout the year. One of our other challenges also has to do with file reviews, which is something that we really try to stay on top of so that we can get that 97%, you know, when they come in and look at our stuff. So we ended about 20%. We'd like to be more around the 33% around there. So we're looking to stay on top of that, of course, this year. We did send out satisfaction surveys to providers this year, to 30 random providers that provide services to our folks, and we received 22 back, so that was exciting. And all of our ratings were either right at consistently meets expectations or exceeds. So we got very good marks, which was nice, too. Our three goals that we worked on throughout the year, we do try to keep probably as a help to me when we hire new people and to train new people, but kind of a how-to manual as to how to do stuff. Unfortunately, everything changes so often that that becomes outdated within 6 months usually. So we kind of worked on that throughout the year and are hoping to kind of have our manual in place in October. We think we hit most of the changes this time, and maybe it'll stay good for about 9 months to a year, but we'll see. And we continue to use our community services network, the web-based program, to do our paperwork and things in, and our goal there, that system could be used to be a paperless system, basically, for us. So we're kind of trying to work our way that way and upload the documents that we need to and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a ongoing process.
I know at one point it wasn't overly user-friendly. How is it going?
It's gotten better. I continue to go to, like, ISAC has user group meetings and things like that where you talk about the challenges with it and things like that. I found that our folks have adapted really well to it, and no, it runs better. We don't have the where we were losing full reports and things like that, and that's been worked out. So I would say it's improved.
The goal of getting paperless, is that real? I mean, that's a great goal. How realistic is it?
I have no idea. Okay. We're just working on getting those documents. I mean, because space is an issue for us file-wise. And with these 90-some people that we're discharging before December of this year, trying to figure out what to do. I mean, because they just grow. It's just huge, the amount of paperwork that we have to keep. So it would be nice. So hopefully. So transitioning those folks with mental illness to the integrated health home. We wanted to work on that throughout the year as far as being able to talk with the families and consumers about what was going to happen, how that was going to work. We kind of started doing that in January. So in the spring, we had about 3 public meetings so people could come to those, and we had a panel of the integrated health home folks, Ierley Ball, YSS, community support advocates, so that people could come and ask their questions and these people could talk about their program and that kind of thing. Attendance was, okay. When we tried to have it at different times during the day, but probably had about the same amount of people there, no matter what time. But we found with most people now, we've talked about it enough and we've really kind of shared what we needed to do, and they're ready to go. And so we're kind of moving people along. Some of them still call our office. They're a little confused, but it'll work its way out. So then next year, what I usually share with you is what we have for goals for the next year. That's a little, it hasn't been decided yet due to the fact that we merged and are now that Central Iowa Case Management. We had to switch our advisory board type structure, and we should look to have new goals by the end of the month. We have our first advisory board meeting this Thursday, and that's where some of our ideas for goals and things like that are going to be discussed. And so then that report next year will be done by Lynn Adams, the director, and it'll be a combined report, basically, for Hardin and Franklin and Story County. So he'll come visit you next year, I bet.
or designate you.
Maybe so. Any questions?
A good report.
Very good report.
Thank you.
And I think we do need to take action on this.
Yes.
Yep.
I would move approval of the FY14 Story County Case Management Performance Improvement Plan.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the plan. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Discussion and consideration of Story County's participation in Skilled Iowa. Marlis Jones.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Morning.
How are you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How long ago was that? Maybe 6 weeks? I don't know. I don't know how much you know of Skilled Iowa. It's, of course, the governor's initiative to address the middle skills issues across Iowa. It rolled out in June of 2012. So far, we have... What are those numbers? We have 11,219 employers who have become what we call Skilled Iowa members. There are 78 of the 99 counties to date that are actually Skilled Iowa members as well. Some of them, for whatever reason, are kind of holdouts, so we continue to work on those. Basically, what Skilled Iowa is about is attempting to address those middle skills issues. Across Iowa, we do a very, very good job of, replacing those engineers and those professionals, and a very good job, too, of the lower skills, the McDonald's, the Burger Kings, those kinds of things. Not always as good as finding qualified candidates for the middle skills jobs.
It's a huge problem here in Story County.
Is it? Because many employers just get frustrated. So one of the things that, the main thing, really, that Skilled Iowa attempts to do is we utilize the National Career Readiness Certificate Test. It was developed by ACT right in Iowa City. We actually have a large volume contract with them. Iowa Workforce Development does. The test is proctored, but it's a means to actually have job seekers identify what their skill sets are. For instance, in your packet on the left side, there is a form. Sorry about that. It says NCRC skilled certificate level. I think it's the last page on the left side of your pamphlet. And what that really does is there's three tests for NCRC: reading, locating information, and math. It is a timed, proctored test. We have to have trained proctors that actually provide the test. And then a person can either score bronze, silver, gold, or a platinum. There's only like 0.3% across the state who have scored platinums. What happens is you, of course, have to score. For instance, my son, who's a civil engineer at Iowa State, he scored a platinum on the mathematics. He scored a platinum in the locating information, but a gold in reading. So then he got a gold certificate overall. So it's always your lowest score, which actually satisfies what that certificate is. We ask those job seekers, of course, to put that on the resume. The Skilled Iowa Member Agreement only really asks two things of all employers, and that is that at some point in time on one of your future job openings that you show NCRC as preferred. Marlis, of course, wants you to use it on all of yours and have all of your employees actually take the test, all of those kinds of things. But the Skilled Iowa Member form is a very, very, you know, almost below basic ask, that you actually use it at one time and that you let us use your name as a Skilled Iowa member, of course. But what we do see as successful is that at least this does show the employers what their job seekers' tested skills are. It still doesn't tell you that they report to work on time, that they get along with other people, that they can take instructions. So that's why the other part of Skilled Iowa is we have a non-paid internship. And, you know, some are as less as one day. Others might be two up to 8 weeks long. It is unpaid, so of course that intern cannot do work that actually the employer would make money on. So it would have to be more of a job shadow. But that is a way that then that employer can see that the person is going to meet those other soft skills that are necessary. We also, one of the things that is not in your packet, but I do have a copy of it, is we do have a workshop calendar that we provide in Des Moines, but we do take some of those trainings, you know, to other locations. We, for instance, provide our A-game instruction to Homes of Oak Ridge in Des Moines. We are partnering with the new Goodwill Connection Center in Newton to provide other training there, so we are available to do other trainings. As a matter of fact, we even talked about the possibility of coming here and doing maybe some resume and maybe even some interview instruction. So we are available to do that. I can talk for about an hour on this subject, but I don't think with the setting of how quickly this goes, you probably want to hear a heck of a lot more. But I did include quite a few things in your package, and I would ask that you become a Skilled Iowa member, but clearly start using it.
My concern or question would be is where could I go and actually see the type of questions that are contained here? I have a real bias about any type of testing that is used as a criteria that could eliminate some people, because as we all know, particularly those in the African-American community and low-income areas, because of reading proficiencies and other types of things, they come in at a disadvantage. And if these, if there is, whether we're talking community colleges, IT, technology schools, other areas of training, that could help what I would consider people who are somewhat of a disadvantage be able to be on at least a level field. Is where my concern would be.
Let me see if I can cover that then. On the right-hand side of your package, there's a National Career Readiness Certificate, and it talks about Career Ready 101. What that really is a tutorial that people can utilize before they take the test. It's available anytime you have an internet connection, so 24/7. And what it really does is it first off will assess where you are right now so you don't have to cover lots of things that you already could test out of. But it you can use that for however long you want before you take the exam. And then that could, of course, identify areas that maybe you need to get some assistance on. The other thing that I didn't mention that I should have is the test, of course, is absolutely free for all state of Iowa residents. We do charge for people who are not residents of Iowa. The other thing, you can retake the test. You do have to wait a certain period of time before you can take the test again, or you need to go back into Career Ready 101, and we can, of course, see that you've actually done that, and then you could retake the test. I've had people take the test. They did not do Career Ready 101. They didn't do as well as they thought they could have on the test, so they did Career Ready 101 and took the test again in another week. So it doesn't.
Anecdotally, did you see an improvement there? I mean, I'm
yes, usually. You know, it just really varies with the person. You know, and some people literally just cannot stand timed electronic tests. I have to admit, it was kind of trying for me the first time I took it, you know, if you haven't taken a lot of timed tests. But it is. It's pretty simple to follow. The locating information, I have to tell you, that's what gets most people. It's really interesting. So if what has to happen, though, on the Career Ready 101, and I could do that for all three of you, you need a username and password, and I can get those for you, you know, by the end of the day if you would be so interested. But you know, the other thing that we're doing with NCRC is we've met with the City of Des Moines Police Department, and they've had an issue with having African-American applicants pass their math test. So what they have now, if you ever went to their website, they are then directing their applicants to take the NCRC test before they take their other, I don't know what they call their entrance test. But, you know, I haven't really heard back how many people have done that, but that was just a way for them to see if they could at least give those candidates another shot at improving what their final score would be.
Yeah, and I'm glad you added that last component to there, which helps me a lot. This past weekend, I was in Cedar Rapids, and I attended the Iowa-Nebraska NAACP regional meeting. And one of the questions that came up there, again, was related to jobs and job skills situation and some of the and the police force and so forth in recruitment. And it was mentioned there that the math portion, in practically in most cases, is the one portion that tends to disqualify potential applicants. And so working with trying to figure out ways to help individuals improve in that particular area, I think would be super. So I'm glad to hear that. The other part of my question would be is relates to since this program has been in effect, do we have any type of a measurement yet to determine, like, the number of people who have successfully completed the program that have been placed in positions? Or are we too soon to really have enough of a quantitative number to tell the success ratio that's out there?
I can tell you how many people have taken the test. I do not have statistics as to how many of the employers have really, truly used the NCRC. I have some success stories, you know, that I could share, but I don't have numbers. But to date, there has been 49,729 have actually taken the NCRC. The one thing that needs to be noted is the community colleges really started NCRC. You know, when the governor really stole that from the community colleges. The community college in Cedar Rapids, I'm starting to forget their name. Kirkwood. Mm-hmm. Actually uses NCRC as part of their curriculum. DMAC, for instance, does not do that yet. I was in Fort Dodge, until about 6:50 last night, and that community college, Iowa Central, isn't using it as part of their curriculum yet. But, you know, that is, I hope, what they're going to lead to, because I have to tell you, Kirkwood tests tons and tons of students, and it would be wise to do that. We utilize NCRC, though, also. We have many of our unemployed, if they're getting unemployment insurance, they need to take the NCRC. We have a federal mandated program called Promise Jobs. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that is one of the criteria also that they take NCRC. So we ourselves are trying to weave that in to have many more individuals who are on public assistance take the test. Evelyn K. Davis Center in Des Moines have proctors. All of the community colleges do. Goodwill does. I mean, there's numerous locations across the state who has proctors. The last time I Googled searched how many states are using the NCRC. It was 38 states. It didn't give me the detail, though, as to where that could have been. One state might have only been using it in one community. Iowa, to the best of my knowledge, is the first state that has really attempted to utilize NCRC across the state.
Okay, so help me now. Just maybe you mentioned it earlier, and I somehow didn't connect to it. So what is it that you would need from Story County to be a participant or to sign on and say that we'd like to participate in SkillEye?
What I would need from you is to fill out this form. It's on the right side of your packet, and it really just says the employer commitment. We will recommend the NCRC in hiring and promotion practices for one or more positions in your organization, and we give permission to use our organization's name in public awareness efforts to promote NCRC. So as I said, it's a pretty simple ask.
The 20 counties. So you said 78 counties, yes, in Iowa have adopted this. So then you've got us and another 20 counties that have not.
Right.
Why have they not?
Am I being recorded?
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's political reasons, I believe. I mean, I have been talking to Polk County forever, and you can imagine with everything goes on with Iowa Workforce Development, I'm not proud of it, but it gets to be political, I think. The other ones, they just, Dallas County, I know the HR director there, but she just says, I'm not convinced yet of what good this is going to do. So it's just, you know, I wish I had more
success. I'll ask it the other way. What harm will it do?
Absolutely none. I mean, that employer commitment is very, very basic. I mean, on one requisition, job requisition, you ask that NCRC be preferred. What I do, I just hired a manager, and I have 10 other openings. I've had tons of movement in my Des Moines office. And so on the posting, we say NCRC preferred. I would like to put a lot of employers show what level of certificate they want. I don't do that. And then I do give them a few extra points on my scoring criteria. You know, and of course, I better walk my own talk, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my next question would be more or less for Alyssa. You said you all have had conversations and so forth, and I know that, to my knowledge, we have not used something of this nature. A lot of our departments heads go through the hiring process. Obviously, they work with HR and so forth and in this area. But do you see that this would change the way that we do business? Would it be something that the board would need to mandate to our department heads that we would utilize something like this, or would it be optional from your standpoint?
I think it would be optional. What happens with every job, whenever I have a job opening, I sit down with the director or the elected official, and I look at what they're looking for. We do preferences on a lot of our job advertisements, whether it be, you know, you're working in the auditor's office, and they want elections experience is preferred. We prefer it. It's not mandatory, required, like other things, like some of our degree requirements and stuff. You put that preference out there. You know, I look at this program when they say, you know, and they kind of tell you, you do get a little more information when they're applying that they've taken this, and you can kind of see where their skill set, it's a little bit easier. We don't do a lot of testing with our positions. A lot of employers do some pre-employment testing to see how, you know, their reading skills and their math skills are. We don't utilize anything at that point. I think with the elected officials, it's difficult to say you're going to mandate it. You could, with your department heads, do that, or it could be a job by job. As I sit down with that director, say, "Hey, look, this is part of the program. I think it would be beneficial to put preferred and see."
Sure, but even if we even, and I'm not suggesting that we would mandate that it be a preferred qualification, but even if we did, we're still not eliminating somebody who's not part
Absolutely
of the program from getting the job. It seems to me what it comes down to, Wayne, you know, for as long as I've been paying attention to the Board of Supervisors, you've been a champion of ideas like apprenticeships and the fully developing career resources at the community college and things like that. This seems to me to be another step, at least in the direction of where you've been talking about going, unless we can find a reason that this would disadvantage somebody. I thought it was a great question, that it would disadvantage somebody, or that it ties our hands or any of our department heads or elected officials' hands in hiring the right person for the job. I think this is another mechanism that we can put out there to the public. Hey, here's a resource for you to use. It might help us get a little more testing with some of our candidates than we currently get, which would be a good thing. I don't see it as potentially eliminating anybody that we would like to hire, even if they're not a member of this. And so unless you guys can come up with something that I'm missing, I see it as being a positive without any negatives to it.
No, I mean, my questions was very well answered. Any perception or ideas, I've always been a firm believer that if there are creative and innovative things out there that in the long run could provide additional opportunities and open doors for people, you know, I think it's something that we can always, we should be willing to at least explore. Obviously, if we find that there are things that come up that was unintended, we as a county obviously can take a look at how we utilize it, and from that standpoint. But I my questions was not in a way to diminish the potential of this, but just to, again, to talk about from my own personal experience and background, that I do know that there have been stigmas attached to any form of testing that is basically used for job placement without having the proper or the opportunity for pre-examination or work for those folks who have test anxieties, for example. I mean, I would almost bet if I sat down and started through that myself the first time, I'm going to have a lot of test anxiety because I've always had test anxiety.
You could, and then you see the clock ticking
away. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out because I want to be deliberate. I want to take my time and so forth. But, yeah, and I do appreciate where you're coming from, Mr. Sanders. I don't see this as something that I would not be in support of. I just, you know.
I want to put our HR director on the spot just a little bit. What would your recommendation be?
I would recommend that you approve it. When we go in and look at applicants, this is not the only area that you're going to look at. You're going to look at their work experience. You're going to look at their education. This is just another added piece of it. You know, just in the HR profession, a lot of your ads say they want their HRCI certifications preferred, your PHR, your SPHR. This wouldn't be any different. This is just, you know, this is a type of certification that they go through and they take the test and they get evaluated.
I need to add something else then, too. Another initiative is Homebase Iowa. You do need to be a skilled Iowa member in order to be a Homebase Iowa member, but, of course, that was rolled out just a few months ago. And what that has to do with, and you are more than welcome to do this, too, you have to actually set a goal of how many veterans that you intend to hire between now and 2018. But that's another thing, of course, that's been added onto the whole Skilled Iowa initiative. And we have many employers who are becoming to be Homebase Iowa employers also.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm ready to move Story County's participation in Skilled Iowa program.
I will second.
OK. have a motion and a second for Story County to participate in Skilled Iowa. Is there anything additional? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye. Thanks very much for coming up.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alyssa. That takes us to consideration of Resolution 1523, setting a public hearing for September 16th, 2014, for amending the Urban Renewal Plan, Story County Urban Renewal Area. Leanne Harder.
I'll be right back.
All right. Morning, Leanne.
Morning. Well, normally these, when we have resolutions setting public hearings, we just place them on the consent agenda. But I want to take just a couple moments to go over the process with you. Again, this seems to be a little bit of an awkward process that we amend a plan kind of a year in the beyond the time that's been implemented. And I just want to clarify it again and see if you have any questions. So today, one, you're being asked to set the public hearing date, as the resolution states. Then also give staff direction to place the draft urban renewal plan on the website tomorrow. And then I'm also, at the end, we'll put a slide up that says questions. I'd like to take the opportunity, if the members of the board have any additional information you'd like me to reach out to the applicants to try to gather, to bring back for our discussions the next couple weeks, I can do that too.
I can see it. Thanks.
The time frame is pretty simple. September 16th and the 23rd, we'll set aside time on your agenda, as we did last year, for the board to discuss each and every application, and then discuss on September 30th what funding decisions you will have reached. In between that, well, next Tuesday specifically, you'll take action on amending the urban renewal plan. And then again, as we're doing this year, next year we'll go back and amend it again. Something to think about in the future is maybe a changing our process a little bit, bumping up the applications even earlier in the year. And Wayne did suggest, and this is a fantastic suggestion, after we get done with this process, we've had 2 years of applicants, reach out to them, kind of a questionnaire survey, see what is a good time frame for them. So hopefully I'll be able to accomplish that in December. So again, the next Tuesday would be the public hearing to amend the urban renewal plan. Next Tuesday, as well as the 23rd. Aside from that, you'll have discussions on the applications and then reach a funding decision on September 30th. It seems a quick time frame, but depending on your funding decisions, we may or may not have to have ordinance amendments or ordinance published for loan agreements. It does not seem that we're going to have to amend Chapter 8, the urban renewal chapter, because we're not adding any more land to be TIFed. So that makes the process more simple. Last year we had to do that and the ordinance on the funding arrangement. So are there any questions?
No, I think the time frame is doable. I think hopefully, you know, after our next meeting, questions will be presented, or at least we'll have a direction in terms of where we want to go. And I do think we could arrive at a decision on the 30th. My only concern, again, is if there are extenuating circumstances or something that comes up, we could certainly ask for an extension to the next week if we felt that we could not arrive at a final deliberation at that time. But this does give us a timetable to move forward with, and so I feel very good about, you know, that process.
The only question or direction I have is I believe that from all the proposals we were able to get, with one exception, we were able to get to the point that we could give real consideration to those, and it felt to me like Slater's proposal still had some areas that they were working on. We had some real concerns about what they were asking us to do based on what we had done last year, specifically with COLO. And so we gave them the opportunity, I believe, to work with you and come back and really, I think, sharpen the pencil is what we said, and really try to figure out exactly what they're asking us for and when they're asking of it. Have we heard anything from them?
Have not.
Okay. We did give them that opportunity. Would you mind reaching out to them again and making sure that they understand that this is where that first cut may happen? And, Drew, I'd ask you as well just to reach out to them as well. And get through, but it felt to me like we're on a great. It is a quick turnaround, but we're in a great place to get it done. Leanne has really helped us get there, so I'm going to move resolution 1523, setting a public hearing for September 16th for amending the urban renewal plan.
Second motion.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 1523. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. 1523 is approved.
All right, and then I'm going to move approval of 1524 as well. We ready for that, or you want to go through it?
I just want to go through a time frame.
Okay, do it.
All right. Yep. Again, this is one of those items that would normally be consent, but for the benefit of the public, we want to take the opportunity to make sure that it's clear that there are two distinct but interrelated projects. This is the equipment portion of the tower replacement project, going through two separate RFP processes. Two very different types of contractors may be selected in the end. This RFP is designed to allow the selected vendor to actually help us decide the types of equipment that are needed, what equipment is currently in place that may be able to be reused or transferred over, help us delineate the time frame and make sure there's no interruption, or if there is to be interruption, that's minimized in existing levels of service. This resolution sets a public hearing for us to come forward to you on September 23rd with the draft RFP. In between now and then, it'll go to Jessica for her blessing. And then following that, we have a pretty straightforward time frame, very similar to the other one you saw earlier. I won't go through that, but ultimately, a contract will be before you on October 21st, so the week following. So that allows the tower to go up, but have this process in play, too, that the contractor on this end could start. And get, again, work finished by mid-December. Again, it's a little bit confusing, so I wanted to make sure the public had an opportunity to hear why there's two different RFPs going out.
I think you've made it as clear as you can make it, and I'm going to move approval of Resolution 1524.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 1524 to set the public hearing. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved. Thanks, Leanne. Next, Information Technology Departmental Report. Barb Steinbeck.
Hi, Barb.
Oh, good morning. I'm sitting in the low chair. I think that's okay. Quite a crowd here today. I like it this way. Shelley passed out my agenda, and for Paul, this will be a lot of review because we had our meeting last week. But I wanted to talk a little bit and give you an upgrade or update on the phone system upgrade, which is plugging right along. We are now doing McFarland Park and Conservation and Hickory Grove all at the same time. We had some challenges with the Hickory Grove location simply because VoIP technology is not possible in that area. We did want to keep the main number because that is a published number. So we've come up with some configuration solutions, and we're going to forward the main number for at least 6 months, at least to give us time to publish the new one to another number. And then everyone else in the office who never had a phone number before, there's three other people, will get a new phone number. So they will be direct four-digit dialing from the rest of the county, except the sheriff's office. And then McFarland Shop will also have three phones with one new phone number because they only had two numbers before. and then the main building itself will all have new numbers. I didn't realize it before, but they were all operating off of one phone line. And so they had extensions, and I'm like, well, why don't you have regular phone numbers? Well, it's because they had one line, so if somebody wanted to make a call, they had to wait for the other person to get off the phone. So this will be a huge improvement for them. I'm excited about that. And then yesterday I was speaking to Jolene, and she mentioned the Dakin's Lake thing, and I said, no, stop. We'll talk about that next year. So one thing to remember with VoIP phones, you have to have a network connection to have a phone. So I'm happy about that. We're going to implement them September 25th. And then I think the road has cleared now for the Justice Center. You know, we had a couple delays. One was the new 911 system, and the other was the fact that secondary and district courts wanted to do their own thing, and they had submitted a port request, and we were stalled. Windstream will only look at one at a time. So since we're on the same bill, we had to wait till they were done. They implemented theirs last week or the week before. So I haven't heard all the gory details, but I know they had some voicemail issues. But it seems like now that has cleared the way. I've had a meeting with Raycom so that we are clear now on how the calls route through the 911 system. So I think we're good on that. So we're tentatively planning for a rollout for the Sheriff's Department in October. And then we will be done. Yay.
How many months?
I started working with their project manager in August of last year. We did our first rollout in November. So we tried to do a building at a time, and it's kind of funny how you anticipate what a project will do, and then when you actually do it, you find out there's a lot of little details you never thought would need to be addressed. And since this system is almost 20 years old, a lot of the previous documentation didn't exist. So we were kind of starting at ground one, but it's at the point now, if somebody in the future ever wants to replace it again, there will be documentation. Not sure what that technology will be, but it's there. The next thing I wanted to talk about a little bit was the audio upgrade for the boardroom. First part of the project is scheduled for September 22nd, and what that will be is a review of the existing system and resetting any configuration changes back to what the new system will recognize. And then part two will be the actual implementation. It's really been delayed because of the difficulty in finding time in the schedule for the vendor. They are totally booked, and they had a cancellation, so he was able to fit us in. Otherwise, it would have been December. So I think we're lucky there. Networking projects. Of course, we've got a ton of those going on. I just wanted to talk a little bit about a few of them. We have a group I think you're aware of called the MAPS-G Group. Where Ames, City of Ames, ISU, and Story County get together monthly and talk about the software and things we have in common. Well, the IT group and all those entities has been trying to get together. It's a little harder to get us together, but we wanted to discuss and finalize our plans for the redundancy for the 911 network. If it goes down in one area, how we could, and we're basically creating a double circle so that once, if a connection goes down, we'll come back and go the other way and get to the other entity. We did get together and have a meeting yesterday, and I think we've got all the hardware costs identified. There will be two switches at each location so that if one goes down, the other one will take over. And then we've got fiber so that everything is redundant except the city. We're looking at their plans for a new water project. The water filtration system, I don't know what they call it, this new water plant. 5 years down the road, we're thinking that would be our solution for the city. We're looking at some other things, too. But for now, that's the only weak part in our plan. So Stan from the city has got things together, and he's going to create the MAPS-G budget for approval. Now, they do their budgeting process a little different than we do, so that had to be submitted in September. But I'm excited about that. And then there were some other discussions we had, too. It seems like we have the best intentions, but when there's an emergency, we're a little unorganized as to how to address it and who handles what. And we had, oh, gosh, that's been last October already, met to discuss hiring a third party to manage our network, to be proactive. You know, we're reactive right now. If there's a problem, dispatch calls us. We'd like to be proactive, have somebody monitor at all times, let us know if we need to do any upgrades, take care of the maintenance, take care of the patches. Can't find anybody really who's qualified to do that. We had talked about getting together for the RFP. So that's one project that now that we have the redundancy schedule or thought out, we need to address that issue. At one time, they thought Alan Young from the city would be able to do that, but he's got other duties too, and we almost need somebody dedicated to this process in order to make it work. So that's another thing on our agenda for the IT group. The third thing we discussed, there were firewalls that were purchased, replacement firewalls for all three entities several years ago and have been sitting in a box, not installed. Those are not obsolete. However, you can't buy that model anymore. And Steve Shaleen out of the group, he works at ISU. He's their, part of their IT team. He just doesn't have time, and he was really the only one qualified to do that. So Ferry County is going to try to configure the switches per his instruction and get them installed for him so that we can at least get them into production and not waste. You know, the new models coming out are, I think these are 5505s, and the new models are 5512s. So they're still compatible with the old if we decide to, you know, one of them breaks and we have to replace it. But otherwise, we're looking at buying three new switches or three new firewalls if we can't get these in production soon, and it would have been a waste to have those. So, which is another reason why it would be good that we had.
How long have we had those?
Four years, 5 years.
And have they been housed here or housed at Ames or housed
Steve
at Ames?
Has them. Yes. So it's just a shame. It's, you know, we're going so fast, we're stumbling over our own feet. So at least that we can chalk that one thing off our list.
I'm really intrigued, Barb, by the idea of coming together, those three entities, to look at hiring a network administrator, somebody with responsibility of that. I'd like to see us try to partner in as many ways as possible. Clearly getting Ames to where on a fiber network they're redundant with us is a key part to the process, but it just seems to me there's going to be more and more opportunities for us to find a way to come together in IT than stay completely separate.
Yes, I agree. It's only to all of our benefits to share resources. And I was told Doug Houghton from the city has been attending our meetings too, and he thought that years ago this idea came up, but the cost was so prohibitive to have somebody, a third party, monitor and manage our network. If that's the case, my suggestion would be that we do hire someone, share the cost between all three entities, and have that be their only job, not, oh, you know, in your spare time, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? Because it is a full-time job to do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. But the question is it three full-time jobs or is it one full-time job? And I like the idea of it being one full-time job for the entities that are
right.
Coming together there. Because the reality is, I mean, we know how stressed our IT department is here in the county. Clearly, Ames is running into the same thing, or we wouldn't have firewalls sitting on the shelves for 4 years
right.
Not getting put in. And so it's something, there may be cost involved, but it's only wasted money if it's not something that's necessary, and it sounds to me like this is something that's necessary.
Yes, it is. Another issue you run into if you have one person is he or she would be working on three different entity equipment and have to have admin rights within each of those networks, which that's not always a good thing either. So,
well, our reliance on technology, just in the 4 years that the three of us have been sitting together, Wayne, probably when you came in 2000, you know, we were technology-based even then. You did a lot by email. There was a lot of stuff web-based. We were starting to tie everything together. We were just getting GIS up and running. We were starting the process of moving to more paperless. You look at how far we've come since 2000, but really since 2010, how far we've come, and it seems like it's speeding up, not slowing down. It's not like you see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're just going to get deeper and deeper into this thing, and it's going to keep growing exponentially, and so we need to be prepared to address it, or we're going to suffer the consequences.
Totally right. It's growing. It's hard to get your mind around it sometimes, all the thing, and you end up just putting out the fires, and we don't want to do that, so...
I don't mind even being one step behind. I don't like feeling like we're five steps behind.
Right.
You know, it'd be great if we could be one step ahead. I don't know that that's a realistic goal. I just like to catch up enough to the point that it only felt like we were a little bit behind.
And one of the things that makes us unique, and it's a point I brought up yesterday. I said, well, what do other counties do? We're the only county that we know of that does this, that works within. Most of the other counties are autonomous. They don't work with anybody else. So it's kind of a unique situation, one that I think we'll overcome. It just might take some time and money. I also wanted to update you. I was here several weeks ago to tell you about Communication Innovators, how we wanted them to go through our closets, document everything, label everything. That portion of it's been completed. We're just waiting for the formal documentation, which, as you all know, it's hard to it's hard to write that final paper. But I'm real happy with what they did. They did a lot of cleanup, too. There wasn't a lot of downtime. So all in all, I think they did a good job. Oh, and I think I should probably bring my cheerleader pom-poms in and say, hey, the DHS issue has finally been resolved. Knock on wood. I think we were back here in January with DHS, and they had asked me to cancel the T1 that they no longer needed and migrate the fax number off because they wanted to keep it. And it has taken this long to get that issue resolved. Part of the problem was it was a Paytech number, and Windstream purchased Paytech, and Windstream is not the general provider for the Ames area. It's CenturyLink. So a lot of the Paytech stuff didn't transfer over. No one knew what the pecking order was. Nobody knew what to do. When they finally did bring in a new line for the fax number, it turned out to be a DSL instead of a POTS line. So they were being charged for a DSL and a T1 and a POTS. And, they were sending the invoices to me like, Barb, do we pay this? I mean, they were like $700 just for a fax line. So, and then trying to get our Windstream rep to pay attention to the issue, I finally did manage to contact the new manager who cracked the whip and made things happen, and had a meeting with Windstream rep on Friday, who apologized for dropping the ball on so many of our things. But we did get a credit from Windstream, and I think things have been taken care of. So now my plan is to migrate that POTS line over to CenturyLink, because really it should be a CenturyLink line, and Windstream should not be involved. So knock on wood, I think we're done. But we had creditors calling saying, hey, you haven't paid these bills, and we didn't know what to do, and no one from Windstream would listen, and they'd have me fax documents to them, things that they didn't need, and then I talked to the next person after being transferred 5 times, oh, no, you need to do this. And then I had a lady send me an email saying, I'll be taking care of your case, here's your case number, but then she kind of disappeared. So it took a lot longer, long story short, took a lot longer than it should have. So I think we're good on that now. Just a little bit on Tyler Content Management. It is plugging along, although very slowly. To refresh your memory a little bit, they were having trouble converting the stamps and annotations, which are very critical from the auditor's point of view, to go on the real estate parcels. And we did contract with Solutions, Story County. Tyler asked us to contract directly with Solutions because that's their direct competitor, and they didn't want to have a contract with them. So we paid Solutions $16,000 to convert these for us, and Tyler had a little bit of a turnover in personnel, and then we started all over because those weren't exactly what they needed. And I said, hey, I'm not going to be the go-between anymore. You guys figure it out with Solutions what you need. So that's where we're at. They've come up with a contract, approved it with Solutions, as to how to get the stamps and annotations in a format that their software recognizes. And if you've, I know it's kind of hard to get your mind around it, but the way the AS400 stores these picture files is a linear address. You know, when you pull up the parcel, the address tells it to pull up this other thing, and then it displays. But it doesn't display in Windows. Windows, everything's picture. You look at it, it's picture. And so Tyler couldn't quite associate the address with the parcel, and it was difficult. But I think, and then the project manager's out on maternity leave for 10 weeks, so.
That's after 10 weeks for back surgery.
Yeah, and last year about this time, she called me and said she was going to be out for 10 weeks for back surgery. So we're just, you know, we brought money over in the budget for 3 years now. I told her we're not doing that anymore. We need to get this resolved. So we'll see when she gets back how far we are on that. I did have the microwave tower on my list, but you guys have heard so much about the microwave tower.
Tower? You can't talk about the tower some more?
Just to let you know, we are participating in those meetings. Our piece of it, there's really three pieces. There's the hardware itself, which Cal is most concerned about, the tower. And then there's the emergency management equipment, which Keith is very concerned about. And then there's the connectivity with the Sheriff's Department, which Dina and I are working on, and, you know, the replacement of the dish and everything. So we've been working with Leanne, and our part is done as well. So, yay. And we decided not to use that as a connection. You know, at one time we kind of talked maybe that would be a good connection, a microwave connection for conservation. But then Colo Phone Company really grew and branched out, and we were able to put fiber out there. So I think that was a better solution anyway. We do have a new hire in IT. His name is Kyle Besty. He spent the first week. He started August 31st, the day before the holiday. And we let the bird loose. He flew to his new nest yesterday over at the Justice Center. And I think he was a little scared, but he says...
He's still there today.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... I'm excited about that. He comes from, he worked in Urbandale for a while and lives in Boone, and I'm excited about what he can add to our team. Another thing I wanted to talk about.
Before we move on from Kyle, let's just keep an eye on that one and make sure. I think we were very explicit that this is a position that reports to IT and does what IT needs.
Yes.
There's an opportunity there in all situations, not pointing at any one area, but there's an opportunity there for somebody to get co-opted pretty easily. Let's just keep an eye on it.
Yes, I wasn't going to mention that, but yes.
Rick will. I'm a lightning rod, baby.
You know, so far I've had really positive interactions with everyone in that building, and I think it's going to be a good thing. And
wasn't intended as a negative toward anybody. It's just something we got to keep an eye on.
Yes, yes, I can see where it'd get out of control. So I think we're good. Another thing I want to talk about, something I've decided to implement. Sometimes there are misunderstandings about what IT provides and what they do for the county, and I thought it might be, you know, Leanne's always looking for content for her newsletter. I thought it might be kind of fun to have an Ask IT section. So she helped me put together a SurveyMonkey little thing that I'll send out later this week. Any questions you might have that you want us to answer in the newsletter. So I'm hoping this will clear up some cloudiness. Maybe not. Maybe it'll just make it worse. But I think it's a fun thing to do, and I think it'll be well received.
I like the newsletter, and I like greater participation in the newsletter. So congratulations to you for doing that.
Yeah, and Leanne, I don't know if it's necessary between the two, but ISAC used to have several articles as they were progressing with IT, with some things that went out to all 99 counties as part of our CoStar group and so forth. So you may just touch base. I don't know if it was Tammy or Rachel that could probably mention a little bit about you know, what they did. But this was also a way to communicate on specific IT type questions.
Sure.
That were things that most people probably didn't know, and I don't know to what degree, once we get this up and running, that we would want to use that, and that might be a little way to add what it was console, a type of reminder, are you aware that, you know, you can do this, this, and this,
right,
type,
yes,
of thing on occasion, because I think it really helps as a refresher to people who are using it. And, you know, this may be something down the road that we could incorporate with as you move forward with this.
And I think also it'll give me the opportunity to identify any training needs we might have with software and things that you're using, refresh people on what the password policy is, you know, things like that. So I'm excited about it. Other things I want to talk about, I'm participating in, we're rewriting the Workplace Emergencies Manual. I believe the last time that was refreshed was 1998. Is that what it was, Wayne?
Yep.
You're on the committee, and HR and emergency management. So a lot of things have stayed the same, but a lot of things have changed, too. Mm-hmm. And what brings this home to me is we recently had to sit in with the state auditor and go over IT-related auditing questions. And you know, they seem to focus on disaster recovery, and it's something we all know we need, and we may have done it halfway, but this will make sure that's all documented so that we all have the same thing to follow. It's one thing that one person knows it, but if the other person doesn't know it, it's not a very successful plan. So, safety committee, we have safety days in October. I'm sure that facilities brought that up on their report. And we're also, one of the last things I wanted to talk about is the online reservations for conservation. They wanted to get something up and going similar to what the treasurer does, like when you pay your taxes and things. They wanted everything to be online. Trying to reinvent the wheel was a little difficult because they had 15 forms, and like if you wanted to reserve a campsite and things, they had forms available. And we tried, there were several modules in Civic Plus that could have been modified to work with this, but then we stumbled upon, and maybe some of you have already gone to this website called mycountyparks.com. We're going to incorporate all of their forms to that site. I think that would be a better place. Why should we have our own when it's already there? Had a little trouble getting somebody to respond to us. I'm sure that's not their full-time job either. But we're meeting on Thursday again to finalize that. The only other sticking point was to try to get an account set up so that the monies coming in through there could be funneled through the treasurer and then into the conservation account. So that looks like that's something we're finally going to be putting to rest as well. Have I talked your ear off?
Nope.
Good stuff.
Nope.
Have any questions?
Nope. Looks
keep it up.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep,
thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Last but certainly not least, bi-monthly update from County Outreach and Special Projects Manager Leanne Herter.
Here's the room.
All right.
I don't want you to feel bad about that.
Okay. Let me tell you what I've been up to since July 14th. When I officially started in the new position. Started out, I want to first of all say thank you to facilities management because my office space is incredible. They did it in such a fantastic manner, and it is. And they moved me so, it was such a simple move, no glitches whatsoever. I was basically up and going and in a couple days, still getting settled, finished the filing arrangement yesterday. I'm ready to start working now. But I've actually started out changing one hat to another. You know, I've been here for what, coming on 16 years, and so it really was a change, and I had to reintroduce myself to department heads and elected officials. Spent most of August. Rick went to some meetings with me as my liaison to the board. Some I did solo, really reviewed the job description for the County Outreach and Special Project Manager. I went over some resources I've been working on, asked them, you know, what's your wish list? And, you know, I even met with, you know, you and Paul and Rick and got an idea of what was out there needed. Or if only I had someone to do this or the resource to do this, then that I added to my draft work plan that we'll talk about here shortly. I also threw in a couple other items. What do we need to add to county news? Like Rick said earlier, I am always looking for content for that, and I really want to continue to build it as a resource for employees. Even adding some personal stories. I got a phone call this past week. There was engagement over the weekend of two county employees' children. That's going to make the news. They asked that it be put in. That is news. Then if they had any upcoming contributions to our story, our external newsletter. I met with everyone except for Community Life, Ron Christensen, and I'm going to meet with him separately and really talk about bringing a special section forward from here till the end of June on CLP and county news on a monthly basis. How I can help CLP is very much different than how I can help some of the other departments.
I think along those lines, Leanne and I are reaching out. Is it this week or next week that we're reaching out to Ames Economic Development and the Chamber just to talk through? I mean, this is 70 employees over in Ames is a fairly large employer in Ames, and so we need to work with them a little bit as we move through this process with CLP. And so Leanne and I, actually at Leanne's suggestion, Leanne and I are going to go over and meet with them. Is that next week? Yeah.
Put a lot of presentations together. This is just a slide of the one that prepared for the board to go out and tell our story to different groups and entities. Actually, last Friday, just submitted the ISAC Awards submission. That's redundant. But for the capital improvements planning and the communications plan that all came from the strategic planning work.
I think you submitted a good submission there, Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I keep on being redundant. Looking for some new, like I said, always new items for the work program. When I was out discussing my new position with department heads and elected officials, one of the department heads brought up the idea, I wish we knew more about the county parks in our county newsletter. So I then started talking to Mike Cox when I was meeting with him, and we came up with a County Park of the Month Club for county employees. And this is really kind of a pilot project that we're trying on county employees for a year. And so this went into the newsletter. I'll probably be sending this out in a couple weeks again as a reminder. Simply print off this page, put it in your glove compartment, and as you visit every park, the end will have them be collected probably to me and then put names in the hat. And there's at least three camping passes that will be given out. Small but a nice incentive. Again, trying it out, and if it works, maybe conservation will take it beyond just Story County employees. Doing some other fun things, Story County Blood Drive, and actually as of yesterday, we had half of our appointments almost all booked, which is really a great progress. Encourage the three of you, if you're able to donate blood, to either...
I didn't know we had to sign up.
Yeah, you can either go online or you can send me your times and I can see if they're available online too. October 13th, but we've extended the hours past 5 p.m. This building will be open, so it's also open for the general public. I've also had a request to consider doing one early next year at the CLP admin building because some of the Ames employees would like to do it over there too. So I'll bring that to you. Help Wayne with just... fun little program, just jeans for a cause. Didn't help with the program, just put it the flyer together.
Where are your jeans today, there, Clinton?
I thought that we were going to do something, you know, beyond, and we were going to have a full house, so I thought I'd dress up, and then I'd go change my jeans later.
Okay. I just don't want us to lose that dollar.
I'll have it tomorrow.
All right. Afternoon, though, it's only 50 cents.
Okay. And then, again, building on conversation with elected officials, bringing IPIB, IO Public Information Board, here in October for basically the entire day for three separate sessions, one for county staff, one for boards and commission members, and then one for we're inviting city officials, township trustees, and school district officials. IPIB has an amazing training session they put on open meetings, open records. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for us all to be educated, but then also show that Story County is really meaning it, that we are operating in this manner. And then I'm really working on social media. My daughter made fun of me last night. First of all, when I showed her at the dinner table, hey, look it, I was able to tweet this stuff today, and then I was able to put this video on Facebook. And I'll see how it works.
Under hours, or
yeah.
That's so this was struggling through the.
This was a proclamation last week, or the week before, on National Recovery Month. National Recovery Month. So it's on Facebook, but it's actually linked to our our Twitter page, too. I won't. But then...
Rockstar there, too.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, my gosh, Mom, you have 500-some followers, 517 followers. I'm like, yeah, I do. How many do you have? And so I was pretty awesome for, like, the whole 3 seconds.
I haven't even gone to it yet.
Continuing to do the newsletters, of course. And I have to say, this is... someone asked me the other day, well, yesterday, some of my friends asked me how I'm enjoying my new job, and I love it. I love coming to work every day. I've always loved working at Story County, but it's really, my level of excitement has increased, and my commitment, I feel, is as such parallels that. But this is one part of my job. I love putting this information together and sharing our story, commingling as employees, but then beyond that to the public. And then I have to keep on doing floodplain development.
For now.
This is the boring part. August 26th, we had our community assistance visit from FEMA and the DNR. We will get the report in October, early November, and then we can file for community rating system application and probably go in at 8 or 7, probably just an 8 since we don't have a building code, but that's really good.
Yeah, because we were thinking 6 originally, weren't we?
Well, 6 we can never get to unless we adopt a building code.
Okay, 6 we can't get to.
7 is going to be, I'm very confident in saying an 8. 7 is what we're shooting for.
Oh.
But great, Cav. They were very impressed. Bill Capuccio was impressed with our process. Permit activity actually keeps me busy. 9 pre-construction phase permits have been issued. This is since July, since I came in the new position. That puts the active permits pending final inspection, that final permitting phase, to 35 right now. That's a huge number. Floodplain management ordinance, we updated to assign the responsibilities to the floodplain manager rather than planning development director. And then you'll have one coming forward to you on September 23rd, ordinance number 231, for first consideration. And I will likely ask you to waive second and third consideration at that time, just a heads up. This is that physical map revision, fixing a floodplain around Worley and College Creek. And I think City of Ames is taking their action tonight on first consideration. And then, of course, you have to always have construction without a permit going on, and so I got a call from the DNR, and that is going to resolve itself quite nicely. We'll be getting that here, hopefully, a permit and application next couple days or so. That gets to the key thing I want to present today, the project work plan. It was on the agenda. It's several pages long just because of spacing. Yeah, it looks longer just, you know, I have a little bit of OCD issues and have to make sure everything lines up, just a tad bit of OCD issues. It's several categories. I can honestly say I've not counted them till right now. 15 categories is what it falls under. Some are items I brought forward with me, the capital improvements plan, communications plan. Connect IO was down in planning and development, and I brought that up with me. Community rating system, the facade grant, local foods, and floodplain management all came up. Same with Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority, technical assistance to communities, and urban renewal plan. A lot of the ideas that are new that are on the work plan are directly from the meetings I had with elected officials and department heads. I don't know if you want to go through the different sections. I do have one comment I do want to make, and that's on the item dealing with centralized mail review. That was initially when I put the work plan on the agenda. I had it going from January to June of 2015. USPS regulations change, and substantial cost to Story County may result. So if you want that on my work program, I would recommend making that September through January so that we're in place to kick off in January 2015. Again, if you want that to be on my work program.
Why don't you speak with the treasurer about that? I know she's had a conversation with me and I think maybe Rick about it. And
I think she'd more than happy to have it be on my work program.
Okay.
Obviously working hand in hand with her, however, because they They manage the Pitney Bowes machine right now. There's a webinar next Tuesday on some of the changes that are coming. And she's had conversations with Mail Services out of Des Moines as a centralized mail service that they would both do our incoming and outgoing mail system.
It seems to me that this is a trigger point. The way we handle mail in this building is something that's worth us looking at. This is a trigger point to do it because we're going to have to take some kind of action somewhere. And so, Leanne, I'd ask that you add this to your work program as long as one of my two counterparts agree with that.
Yeah. And make sure you keep Lucy in the loop about time-sensitive ballots. And so just make sure she's involved in all that.
Just some new things that under economic development, working on the website. Our website for Story County Economic Development Group, adding information on that group onto the website, but then some additional information on communities and projects. Drew and I are meeting on Next Level. It's a new program that's out there that we hope, just like Advance Iowa, we can bring to the board for just education purposes and what level of involvement we may have. A business retention expansion program development. Local foods planning, again, we'll be bringing that. I'm so used to having other people with me. I'll be bringing that as an entity back in later this fall. Other new stuff falls under general and miscellaneous, or general administrative items. I already know I've been involved with the tower RFP. Internal boards and commission manuals and recognitions, and then external manual for them, kind of both facets of that. A Red Shirt Fridays program, working with Brett McLean, bringing forth a housing needs assessment for the board later this fall. And I'm not going to go down the entire list. You've had a chance to review it, but highlighting some items like Fernald Bus Shelter. There are about 6 to 8 children that live in the unincorporated village of Fernald, and they're really working hard with the township to kind of revitalize the area and the little pocket park they have. And so when their township clerk came and met with me and asked if that's something the board would consider working on, so that'll be coming to you here soon. Working with Joe Quaker he got a grant for some signage for IRVM, just doing some design work for him on that. Employee recognition plaques, intranet discussions, Red Cross blood drive I've mentioned, monthly review on any grant opportunities that are out there, not writing applications, but if I see something, and making a concerted effort to spend maybe half a day of just looking out for grant opportunities and sending it to respective elected official or department head. Inventory of what types of cameras we have there. I know it was earlier this year when Treasurer Tweet had the sheriff sale. She was looking for a camera and didn't realize Planning Development had one and a tripod they could use. So just an inventory that people are aware of what's there, that it's county property, and I think we are all in the sense that we share and share alike. Another, the really big one on the whole plan is a COOPCOG, continuity of government. Working with Keith Morgan, that's on the work program through the end of this fiscal year, but it would be on next fiscal year and likely the following fiscal year. It's a very big project, right. Really, those are the highlights.
The only thing I would ask is anything that has to do with any type of employee recognition or activities, make sure you're in contact with the EAC.
Oh, good point. Good point. And, Leanne, my question is, was looking at some of the things that you shared here. I wasn't able to download it. I thought I could pull it up here on my iPad today, and I had trouble getting connection. At ISAC, when I'll be going tomorrow evening, going to Humboldt for our Board of Directors meeting, and at the end there's always a section for all of us to go around talking about some of the things that's happening in our particular counties. And I know, like our story and several of those other things, if there's any things that you might have that I can take with me to kind of share. At one time I thought about, if it's not on the website, you could use a little flash drive type thing, and because Bill usually always has a place that we could plug it in and then pull it up, and then everybody, instead of having multiple copies to hand out, then everyone could kind of see some of the things like you've shared here with us. But I think some of the things that we're doing is so exciting and innovative that, you know, I think it's just great for us to, you know, toot the horn a little bit about, you know, what you're doing. And
have you,
and
Wayne, have you been through the PowerPoint that Leanne put together just on what's going on?
No, not personally.
Now that would be worth you taking a look at, because I think you could do it in 5 minutes.
Right. Okay.
Just hitting the high points. Right. Can you go back to that one?
I'm not. Yeah, I was seeing if we.
Well, you had a picture of the front page of it as part of your presentation today, right there.
Yeah. Right.
That's all right. Yeah, that's a different one. But it's got to be what? It's probably 8 or 10.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
8 or 10 slides.
That would be excellent.
And it'll trigger for you all the things that we've been working on. Leanne, would you have any problem with that?
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
A lot of hard work doing it. That was a fun presentation to put together. I enjoyed doing it.
You bet.
Great job. What we found, and I'll just speak since I attended some of those meetings with you, we found that this is an even bigger job than I think any of us recognized when we talked about the creation of a standalone position here. In fact, I found myself working with Leanne to make sure we limited the scope rather than increased it, because the number of items that could have ended up on her work program if we weren't a little diligent in trying to keep some of them off, it could have really mushroomed. I mean, as it is, it's already really, really big, and I'm already thinking of, you know, the items that are, you know, Paul, I'm thinking of copiers in this building, right, and who has to lead that kind of study. And I mean, there's all kinds of things that eventually we're going to see get on here. We just got to get some of this low hanging fruit off the plate.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Job well done.
Back in a month and 2 months.
Good.
You'll be back before that in other things.
Yeah.
Next is liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
I met with Deb Shilroth yesterday, and the scope of our discussion was the upcoming regional governance board meeting, some of the items that were going to be on the board agenda, and after we take action, then I'll be reporting back to the board regarding some of those things. The RFP, I'm told, for community life should be finalized by this Friday. There's a conference call with the ADMET team, and so that's going to be presented. And then there's a timelines for the agencies to respond, a whole format surrounding that. And then there will be some contracts talking about the CLP management, separate agreement for the asset portion, and then something that we will be talking about at some point again will be, again, for us looking at the assets, the cars, and other types of things, and how we want to basically proceed with that. That's still something that's still left out there, and when that's going to take place, I don't particularly know for sure yet. There's going to be a contract that we think from one of the entities regarding supportive employment group. We talked a little bit at length about that. I don't know whether the governance board is going to approve it or not, but we'll hear more about that.
Now, that's a Core Plus service, is that right?
Well, yes. Yes, it would be.
And it's one of the items that we, at least I know I was most concerned that would not make it through the transition. So I'm excited to hear that there's at least a possibility.
Right, there is a possibility there. And then there will be some things, again, about how the region will go about looking at various claims and trying to have a centralized claim system put in place for all 10 counties within the region. And I think that's is in the process of being finalized. So all in all, I think that things are moving along quite well, and I'm excited to at least get the RFP proposal finalized so that we can then move forward and see where we are with that.
Yeah, and Wayne, if I could just ask that as our representative from Story County on this board, please, at every opportunity, just remind them that we are going to have transition cost get through the process. And I don't want there to be sticker shock down the road, as we work through this process, because there are going to be some transition costs that are, in fact, mental health costs that we need the region to buy into.
Yeah, we did cover that, and she's going to be making sure that is conveyed.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
The one thing that I would add to that, as far as the vehicles that are involved over there. I did have a conversation here with the fleet manager at Ames, and that's part of their budget, and I knew they do start their budget process here probably just down the road pretty quickly. So he would like some direction from us as far as what, if any, participation they're going to have from here out with the fleet over there. So
okay.
All right, well, how soon do we need to get that on the agenda, and do we need to ask for it to get to us sooner rather than later?
Oh, I'll reach out to him again and find out. For sure. Rick, do you have anything?
No.
Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments through the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not see anybody move toward the mic. Announcements, Wayne.
I will be leaving tomorrow evening, going to Humboldt for the Iowa State Association of Counties Executive Board Retreat. And one of the items, of course, will be the evaluation of ISAC Executive Director, plus trying to finalize some other things that the board will basically be doing, and getting us ready for things that will go before the General Assembly in our fall school. So should be an exciting time, and we have an all-day format on Thursday and half a day on Friday of this week.
Well, another opportunity for us to tell you, Wayne, how much we appreciate you representing us on that group and making sure we have such a presence in ISAC. It seems to me that Bill Peterson's doing a great job. Is there any pushback that you wouldn't expect that kind of result from his evaluation?
Not at all. Should be outstanding. Yeah.
Pass.
I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.